Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dear Abby. Do you guys know what my favorite snack of all time is? Lemons and salt. Lemon with salt. Cut lemon in half, put salt on top, and squeeze the lemon. And drink the juice. And you go, eh, like on your tongue. You do that like 50 times until there's not a lot of juice left. And then put your finger in the lemon, get all of it out. You know, you don't eat the skin. You probably can. I've heard that it's decent for you. Then you just eat the lemon like that. You eat the leftover lemon, and that's like my favorite snack of all time. And randomly, I think I crave lemons. I don't know what exactly in them I'm craving, but I crave them a lot. Don't know if I should be feeding that craving or not, but I do. The only reason I just thought of that is because I am craving a lemon really badly right now that I almost didn't record so I could eat a lemon. But if I ate a lemon, then I feel like I would have to wait an hour to record because I'd have to drink a bunch of water so my throat isn't like hurting and, you know, all that stuff. I think it's also terrible for my teeth, but I do it anyways. And then I wait a while and I drink water. Okay. Oh my gosh. What am I talking about? Welcome back to today's episode. I am tired from work, but I'm happy to be here, and this really makes the podcast more special for me now that I have a normal job, because I took for granted, well, actually I didn't. I tried to enjoy it as much as I could, but you always take stuff for granted because you don't know what the next step in life is going to be. It feels nice to kind of take a break from the rest of the world, everything else, and just have it just be us chilling. And I'm excited for today's episode is what I'm excited to record is what I'm saying. I didn't say this two episodes ago. Well, yeah, two episodes ago, but today is my 52nd episode. And that's insane to me. I've done 52 episodes. That's a lot of episodes. So now I'm grateful because now at least when people discover the podcast, they can go all the way back to episode, episode one. And just listen to I have more that people can kind of binge and listen to and stuff. I am a little bit worried with podcasting because there's so many and people have so many that they listen to that, like, do people still binge people's podcasts? And if so, is my podcast a binge-worthy podcast? That's the real question. Do people want to listen to me consecutively, a couple episodes in a row, a couple times a week? I don't know. Anyways, I'm hoping people want to listen to multiple episodes in a row. I just want to celebrate that we have gotten to more than 50 episodes. That does make sense because it's been like pretty much a year. This is almost I've done a full year of the podcast, pretty much is what that means. I'm going into year two, and it's also the beginning of 2024. I have lots of plans. I'm having to kind of put some things on the back burner though, just because of I'm trying to rearrange my scheduling and figure out all that fun stuff, but I'm very excited for this next year for the podcast and just see where it takes me because you just never know. However, I'm still very happy to be where we are now. And if that's how it stays forever, I'm honestly okay with that. Sometimes I'm not when I'm feeling less grateful and a little bit of a brat. Okay, today we have an exciting episode. We're kind of going to be doing a bunch of little different things. I wanted today's episode to just be more fun. And honestly, my brain is not as good at thinking of things to talk about because I don't have all day to think about anything else but work and like Excel. So when I'm done, I try to think of everything and feel inspired, but it's really hard just because all of my mental energy is going into work, which I will say is very nice for my mental health, but it also is like not helping at the same time. It's just everything has pros and cons, but I just never feel like very present. I just feel tired and like fatigued. But I also feel more calm. I think I have less rumination, but more like I just feel more calm, which is really, really nice. Yeah, I don't really know how I feel, to be honest. I think that's why I feel weird. It's because I don't know how I feel. And usually I know exactly how I feel. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I still have a couple things that I want to talk about. And we're playing a couple of like kind of games. They're just like fun things. We're just going to be fun today. Okay, so a couple life updates first before we get into the craziness. So I made a vision board for 2024. As I said, I would, and I have it right here. If you're watching on YouTube, it's just right by my head, pretty much. The only things that are on there are just more art, because I want to keep doing art. I actually just started a new painting, which I'll probably post on my Instagram soon once I finish. I wish I would have recorded the whole painting process, because it's so satisfying to watch from blank canvas. Well, technically there's something actually underneath that canvas that I just painted over. But to watch it from start to finish, and how you really, with a lot of art, you just have to trust the process. Especially I've learned with like physical painting instead of digital art. Like physical paining for me always is like a 50-step process. And I always hate it. I always hate it for so long until I just keep pushing myself to finish certain things. Okay, just do this section. Just do this section. Don't rush it. And then eventually I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm actually like so proud of myself for doing that. The original painting that I did IRL was a digital painting that I found on Pinterest. I have so much art. Actually, I don't know if my Pinterest is like public, but if you want to see what kind of art I like and what art I'm drawn to, and I also just have like how to draw stuff, like just random stuff on Pinterest. I don't know my name actually, so I can't even give you. Maybe I'll put it in the description, like my Pinterest and my board. And you can see all of like the art pieces on there that I just gravitate towards for some reason. And a lot of them's like animated and more like anime cool vibes. But also there's just some random art pieces that just, you know, when you see an art piece and it just speaks to your soul, like without any words, without anything else, it's just is. And you just are with that art and you feel like so connected to it. I love that feeling, and that's what really inspires me to paint. Even though I don't do a lot of original paintings yet, I just want to get good at copying, which sounds weird, but I just also in like scaling, it's helpful for me to draw someone else's thing to scale without tracing or anything, but just kind of guessing, I think. And that's slowly been helping me also visualize dimensions, scaling, all that stuff, and just how to go from start to finish with, even if it's somebody else's concept that you can visualize, but how to get the colors to match, how to get the vibes to match. And I don't know, there's a lot that goes into that. Eventually I want to create my own, but I'm not at that level yet. I'm okay with waiting a couple of years to like, I don't know, get really good at it. So no rush there. And then I also just have, did I talk about, I think I talked about this last week, not the art thing. Anyways, then it's just outfit and inspo, all that stuff, beauty. But it's more so like taking care of my body and feeling comfortable in my body again, and podcast. I have different goals for the podcast, a side business hustle. And I do have a ring on there. I do have a ring on there, I will say, and a couple cute like wedding-ish photos. Don't read into that, okay? A girl can put that on her Pinterest board, because it's on every girl. Well, maybe not everyone, but a lot of girls. You know what? I never was a girl that had a Pinterest board or was obsessed with like my wedding until now. And I think because I'm way more accepting of, I don't just have to be a tom girl or a tomboy. Wait, what is it? A tomboy? Like a tomboy or a girly girl. Like I can be both things at the same time, because I change every day. Sometimes I want to wear baggy, oversized clothes and feel more like boyish. And then some days I just like feeling really pretty, done up, like pink, wear tighter clothes, and that's fine. So I'm not too attached. I don't think I'm like that attached to my, I don't know, identity in that way. Now I'm very much more accepting of the fact that I'm very excited to like have a wedding and to plan that and to have fun with it and be pretty and have pretty things. And I'm also a lot more picky. I'm sure most people who have listened up to this point know that I've been married before. So I actually had a wedding. I am a lot more aware of what I really value during like a wedding, and it'll be way different. First of all, hopefully, again, I'm not even engaged, nor do I know when or if, like, you know, I don't know the specifics, but that I do want to be married because I'm obsessed with my boyfriend and I would love to be married to him because I just want to have a family with him and have a life together and change together and all that fun stuff. So first of all, it's with a different person. So I feel like for me, I have a rare experience, which I could sit here and I have a voice in my head that's like, you should be embarrassed by that, or you should be ashamed, or you shouldn't be excited because you've already done it once. So it's like people will judge you for being excited again, because it's like, oh, you know, she doesn't take marriage seriously. All of those things run in my head. And it hurts when I hear those things from my own mind, but it's just because that's what I've heard from other people. Or maybe I've judged someone in the past for that exact thing. And so that's coming up in my head because that was a belief that I held before I had a better understanding. I don't know why I'm on this tangent. I just really started to go into it, but basically I'm excited for that eventually. Don't know when. Don't know, but I'm very excited. And it is fun to have more of a vision this time around and be a little bit more mature this time around as well, and older, and know what I want. And there's pros and cons, obviously, to being a little bit more picky. But one of the pros is I think I will be able to get what I want. Another life update is I blew out my hair. I think I just posted about it today, but that's like a week ago for you listening to it now. So you've probably seen a post or two of my hair after I blew it out. I've never blown out my hair before because when it's really long and curly, it's exhausting. Like, I would only pay to get it blown out, but I never. Actually, I did that one time, but she dyed my hair and then she blew it out, because I was like, yeah, might as well. I gave her a huge tip, I think. Did I? I know I gave her a tip, but I don't remember if it was, I wanted to give her a huge tip, but I was, I think, pretty poor, so I don't know what it was. I never really cared to straighten my hair anymore. I did every single day until I was maybe, not kidding, like 20 years old. And then I accepted my hair more fully, but even then I would sometimes straighten it to make it more wavy rather than curly and fro, because I also didn't know how to style it that much. And it just wasn't cool. Like, other people who have straight hair might see curly hair and think, oh, that's so cool and stylish and different and pretty. But someone who has curly hair, you are constantly looking at how pretty everyone else is with straight, silky, pretty, long hair. It's really hard to get long hair with curly hair, because when my hair was curly and like longer, it was like to my shoulders or a little bit past. When I would pull it, it would be past like my chest, like my breasticle. It'd be way past my breast. So it would be very long if I had it straight. Anyways, it's just so exhausting to blow it out yourself because your arms are dying at the end. And I don't have like an expensive thing to do it myself, or I don't know if a Dyson does that. Does a Dyson do a blowout or just curls or something? I don't know. So I just have an old fashioned round brush and a blow dryer with a little thing that's like a, what is it, like a, it's like a rectangle attachment onto it. Anyways, and I actually loved it because I've always wanted to just see what it would be like to have short, straight hair, because I think that look is so beautiful and it's so freeing and fun. And I don't know, it's just like the epitome of a cool girl is like short, straight hair. But I will never really achieve that exact look that I'm looking for, but I was closer than I ever thought I would be. and it did make me want to cut my hair even shorter, but I had to resist the urge because I do like the length, but something happens when you cut your hair short that you're like, just keep chopping it off. Let's just see how short we can go with still thinking that we look okay. Those are my life updates. So I haven't done a mental health update in a couple of episodes, but I'll give one. So just a couple things that I've been thinking about with my own mental health journey. A couple things have come to my mind just this past week. One, this weekend was really hard. I guess 2 weekends ago, it was a really hard weekend for me. I just was going through, had a rough day, and I basically just had a lot of intrusive thoughts, urges, and I really did not like myself, let's put it that way. And I used to have a lot of self-punishing behaviors, and that also was physical. So I would pinch myself and I'd break skin. I won't go, this is very triggering, so trigger warning. I'd basically just take anything and dig it into my skin to stop the thoughts or to punish myself, to kind of prove to myself that, you're disgusting for thinking this, you deserve this. And it made me feel better. This took a dark turn really fast. I'm just trying to be honest. I don't love those behaviors, obviously. They're very yucky. They don't help me. They're not from a good place, and they bring a lot of shame after because I know better. But in the moment, it feels like I have to do that. So I had just a couple of hours where I just was struggling with that and crying a lot, cried all night, cried all day, pretty much the next day, just was not in a good place mentally. I called my mom because sometimes I don't have a therapist whenever I want anymore. If I really don't want to be alone, I'll call my mom. She just is so comforting to me. She'll just let me talk for hours. I think our phone call was 4 hours long. And during that phone call, just was realizing a lot about my expectation for my recovery and being very rigid again in the way that I think about being recovered from OCD, whatever that means, because sometimes I see that people are recovering or I recovered from OCD and now I'm living my best life. And I don't know what that means. That seems so abstract to me when I'd see that people recovered from OCD. Just to reiterate, when I would do self-punishing behaviors, that's a compulsion. I felt like I had to do it because it was protecting me somehow, because if I showed myself that I didn't like the thoughts or whatever, I had to do that to prove something. It's so dumb when you say it out loud, but it feels very real. It's just been a long time since I've done that. And so it kind of came out of nowhere, which was really upsetting to me. And I was I'm never going to recover. I'm just never going to get better. And that's kind of the rabbit hole I went in. And during those times, I always have to fully accept, again, the range of the human experience, where it's not just, once I get to this point in my recovery or once I get to this point in my healing, then I'll have everything figured out and I shouldn't ever feel bad again. I shouldn't ever feel sad. I shouldn't ever have confusion, or I should always have clarity, right? Because I felt clarity for a second. And that's how it feels when I'm thinking very rigidly about my recovery or just life in general from a very perfectionistic standpoint. So I am trying again, because I've learned this before, but it didn't stick. So that's okay. I'm just going to pick myself up and we're going to try again. There's a couple things that I'll say to myself during these times where I feel like I'm getting nowhere is, one, I always think back to when I first started this whole thing. I am in such a better place. I know how to pick myself up and I did it. Even if it took a little bit, it took way less time and it happens way less often. And then two, I'm not going to live my life when I'm recovered, only when I'm recovered from OCD. I think that I will have OCD for a very, very long time, if not my whole life. And even saying this, the expectation, I'm trying to lose the expectation of, so I should never have like a hard day again with it. I think that expectation will just only set me up for failure. However, that's not excusing like what I can control with my recovery, and that's not excusing my behavior at all. I think to be honest and be real with myself, it just doesn't go away one day. Even if you do a million exposures, there'll always be things that kind of nag at me. Sometimes I accept it, sometimes I go back into not accepting it when I have a hard day. And then also, I have come so far with that specific compulsive behavior. I've been so caring and loving with myself recently. And so when that happens, it's even like more devastating. And then you feel like you've made no progress, but you have. Like, I have made progress. And then another thing I say to myself is just that I'm here. I made it through. I'm alive. I'm okay. I got through that and I'm still here breathing. Sometimes when you fall back into a behavior, something that you used to do that was self-sabotaging, it feels so hurtful because you know that you just hurt yourself. I don't know. It's just hard to navigate those days. Sometimes I just have to get through it. Just get through it. I don't have to like this. I don't have to find the meaning for this. I don't have to like try to be so positive, whatever. This is really hard and I'm struggling, but I just get through the day. Just don't do anything about it. Just get through the day. You'll feel better. You always do. The storm passes, and don't get too attached to the storm, you know. Okay. That was my update for my mental well-being, which I just want to share because I just want to be completely transparent about where I'm at. I don't know if it makes me feel safer that I am fully like transparent and trying to get everything out there afterwards. I felt so proud of myself that I got through it. It was a rough like 48 hours. My boyfriend was out of town, so I really was kind of all alone. I just kept telling myself, it's not over. It's not over. My journey isn't over. Nothing is over. It's just been a bad day. Okay, well, hopefully that was helpful to at least one person to hear. Maybe if they feel like they're being left behind or something. I don't know. I mean, I have been pretty good like lately, but yeah, that was kind of rough. So hopefully that just at least resonates with someone. So we're going to do, like I said, a couple little silly games. And the first one is, I wanted to share my favorite girl dinners. Girl dinner, if you don't know what that is, it's just like the internet's way of making fun of girls and the things that they eat when they don't make a full meal, or they're like in college and they have not a lot of money, or you just like don't feel like eating a big meal and you're satisfied with a little bit or whatever. I don't know. There's a million different reasons why girls have girls dinners. I think mostly it's just because you don't want to cook a full meal and you're satisfied with like eating random stuff put together. Something my family always makes fun of me for is whenever I eat food, I always like smush stuff together. I'm a real texture girl. So I like playing with textures. I need to make sure there's like something. If I have a sandwich, I like to put something crunchy in there and then flatten it. And then for some reason, it just is nice to eat it that way. I know it's weird and it makes everyone mad around me, but maybe I should stop, but I don't know. But one of my favorite girl dinners is, like I just said, a lemon with salt. Well, not just barely, but at the beginning of the episode, I went on a weird rant about lemons. That was so weird. That was like, so why did I start with just that? Yeah, lemons and salt. That's one of my favorite girl dinners. Another one that I have is I get a piece of toast. Well, just a piece of bread. And then I put Colby Jack cheese on it, but like the sliced ones, I cut it in half, the cheese. Well, I like rip it in half. I put half on one, like so that they're hot dog style. I put one on one side of the toast, the other one on the opposite side, and then I toast it. And then I just eat that as toast, and it's just cheese on toast. And it's really good. And sometimes I'll put balsamic vinegar on it. And that's the meal. That's my breakfast sometimes. Kind of gross when you say it out loud, because, but Also, balsamic vinegar can really taste good on everything, I think. That has got to be one of the yummiest things in the world, is balsamic vinegar. And it tastes good on literally everything. When I was, I think, living at home. I don't remember where I was. Oh, yeah. When I was living at home, because my mom would always buy little chocolate chips, just like the Ghirardelli. No, not Ghirardelli's. Please. The Great Value chocolate chips. Who am I kidding? Just like the cooking ones, like the milk chocolate or the semi-sweet. So she would get those and she'd put them in a big jar. And after work, when I didn't want a meal, apparently, or any nutrients, I would take a glass of milk. So gross. I would take a glass of milk and pour a bunch of those chocolate chips into the milk. So it was like full of chocolate chips, like seriously, a lot of chocolate chips. And then I would just get a thing of peanut butter, spoon the peanut butter out, dip it into the milk with chocolate chips so that the chocolate chips would sink into the peanut butter when pressed in. I would pull it out. And so, I wouldn't pull it out. I'd kind of scoop it so there's a little bit of milk. And then I would just like lick the peanut butter off with the chocolate chips and a little bit of milk in every bite. I ate that seriously probably every day for like a full 2 years. That's why I can't eat peanut butter anymore. Because I think it did something to my peanut butter does weird things to my skin. My skin feels really weirdly textured when I eat peanut butter now. So, or maybe it was a chocolate, but I'm pretty sure it was the peanut butter. That's like a classic. When I think of girl dinners, I think of that. That's the first thing that comes to my head because that was a constant for me. Another girl dinner is these are so gross, is I will get chips, like potato chips with avocado oil, and I'll sprinkle a little bit of cheese on it and I'll just eat that as like a meal. I'm not kidding, as a meal. Not anymore. This was like when I first moved here. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I was still an adult, but I would eat that all the time when I just like wanted lunch, but I didn't want to go buy lunch or anything. I didn't want to like spend money on groceries, so I would just eat that. Whenever I eat that kind of stuff, my stomach hurts so bad. My stomach does not like it at all. It's like, what do I do with this? How do I combine this? Those are really my main girl dinners, but you get the picture. You guys should send me what your girl dinners were and then I can read them next week or the week after that. Just DM me or you can email or text the number in my description. Just text what your girl's dinner or your girl dinners were and are, and I'll read them next week because I think those are so funny and they're always so kind of gross and just really not good for you. The next thing that I thought would be funny to talk about is, so the other day I went through my notes and I'll organize them, I'll categorize them so that way I don't just have a billion random notes in my phone, because that stresses me out. Because I'm like, what if there's something important in here and I don't know where to find it? So I went through, organized my notes. I have a whole way of categorizing them now. I thought it would be funny to read some of my random notes that I have. And then we're just going to go right into the Dear Abby and then we'll end the episode there. Here are some of my random notes in my phone that I screenshotted because I've already categorized them and they're organized now, but these are the funniest ones. Okay, I'm just going to read them kind of fast with no explanation really. Okay, first one just says pie is mid, which I think I actually said on the podcast. So next one says orange witch time, just in a row, and unicorn buffalo are animals. Perhaps, maybe I was playing code names. And then this one just is the letter C. Just capital C, nothing else. This one's just a workout, full body. Around the world, no weight, rotator cuff with weight. Pilates arm workout as warm up. Okay, boring. This one says mind degree, server in Berlin. This one's my favorite. This one just says turns into disgusting boar, hyphen, thinks it's cool. I think that one was from when I was playing Dungeons and Dragons one time for a one shot. And the only reason I'm guessing that is because at the bottom it just says druids. What? That's the weirdest. It's like so far down the page. Why would I do enter, 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 and then just say druids? And then at the bottom and then under there, it just says camping, cabin, study the advice and take it seriously. Maybe that was for the podcast. Study the advice and take it seriously. There's a lot of OCD notes like to help myself. But those, there's a lot more of just random grocery lists like cucumber, avocado, toast, and then that's all. And then the next note would be like the same things for the next week, pretty much. And a lot of other random stuff. But there's also a lot of good stuff in there that like business ideas, random just ideas that I didn't want to lose. So now I have them all organized in my notes. It is very nice to have them all organized. Okay, so this week for the Dear Abby, we're not doing a voicemail. We're doing a DM that I got recently, and they were asking about advice after a breakup. Like, how do you move on after a breakup? And so I'm going to answer that as a Dear Abby. So to keep it formatted, Dear Abby, how do I move on from after a breakup? There was some context in there, but these are my biggest things for after a breakup. One, don't be so hard on yourself and try to force yourself to feel better. Sometimes there's this, obviously there's like a culture on the internet that's like, you just see videos like before him and then after him, and then it's like a glow up, or he doesn't know what he's missing, and then it's like a clip cut or cap cut video of like this girl got a blow up, and what is it called? Not a blow up. A glow up. A girl had a glow up after a breakup, or the guy had a glow up, and it's like he's missing out or she's missing out. And I get it kind of with like the, that's like more of a, I don't know. That's really not truthfully how you feel about the breakup, I think. I think when you break up, you're so used to someone, you're used to their energy, their heart, their soul, their personality, you're so used to them and you're so comfortable. Sometimes you're not going to be very, very sad. And that's actually very healthy. And that's a good sign. If you're sad, or if you feel confused or angry or hurt, or maybe even like apathetic, like you, but you're like, I don't know. There's a lot of different emotions that you can feel when you're going through a breakup, and they're all okay. And the more you try to hurry the healing, the less healing you'll probably do. And the more you try to, I just listened to an episode of a podcast. I forgot what it's called. Shiz. I commented on one of the video or the episodes because it was so good. It was about anxious and avoidant, like partnerships, relationships. And then the next couple episodes, there's one about breakups. And she gives such good advice. Maybe I'll link the episode if I can find it. She gives such good advice on breakups. And she says, kind of along the same lines of what I was saying about not having to do everything for your ex to like prove something to them. And she was saying the same thing, like, and she's a psychologist or therapist or something, so she has a lot more merit than I do. But she was saying it's a big deal when you break up with someone or when they break up with you, because psychologically it's going to be hurtful, and also physically, because you're very used to them. And also the more that you try to prove something or prove your worth through their eyes, or you try to still connect your self-worth relating to them or anything to do with them, that will not help your healing. That will not help you move on. That is literally so true. When she said that, I'm like, that's exactly how when I was going through my divorce and I wasn't even trying to move on, because I didn't really have romantic feelings. I think when someone betrays you at a certain level, there really is like, I knew I wasn't going to get closure. I knew I wasn't going to get like an apology or like a good conversation. He couldn't provide that for me at that time. So I just had to accept that very early on. And I also realized that when I thought about him and what I was worth through his eyes, that's when I would just not feel good at all. That's when I would not get better. That's when I would not be able to move on, because I was still so attached to what my worth was with him and why he didn't see it was worth it to stick around, why all of these questions. And that's just so not helpful, and it never will be helpful. It's natural sometimes to do that, but nevertheless, it is never helpful to do that, and it will never get to where you want to be. And that's probably feeling very close to yourself, in tune with your emotions, comforting, consoling yourself, being patient with how you feel, being patient with how long it takes. Sometimes I look back and I think I maybe tried to rush feeling good without him. To be fair, it was kind of easier than most breakups because it wasn't like a really mutual decision, I guess. It was like I just had to, you know? So there was no contact after. So it was just a little bit different than some breakups, and it was a divorce, not a breakup. So it is also very different in that way. Definitely don't contact them. No matter if you still think that there's hope, do not contact that person. No contact ever with an ex. Don't ever contact an ex. Don't be each other's like person to lean on. Don't be their shoulder to cry on. Just set boundaries. Keep those boundaries very firm and clear so that you both can move on. Regulate without each other. Breakups are so hard, and I can't even remember really what it feels like to be going through a breakup because it's just been a while. But I think of going through a breakup right now in my relationship, and it's such a horrible, yucky feeling. Those feelings are so tempting to run away from and to try to just like force yourself to feel I'm better without him, you know, those types of things. I don't think, like, when I think back to that, I don't think that was helpful. Again, the only thing that was really helpful for me was just being like, this freaking is hard, and I really I'm going to miss this relationship, and I'm very confused and very sad. And my body misses him. My body misses, like, my brain, my nervous system is like so confused. That's okay. But still no contact. Just be with yourself more than you ever have been, and really use a breakup to learn more about yourself, choose to love yourself. Not just like go, you know, get massages and spa days, but those are also good, but also just really be present with those dark, yucky emotions and don't shun them. I think that's all the advice that I had for breakups, but yeah, breakups suck. So I'm sorry if you're going through a breakup. Even sometimes hearing, when I was listening to that episode of, I have to mention the thing in the episode notes, but when I was listening to this episode of this girl talking about a breakup and the best ways to move on, I realized I could have been better at some of those things with my last break off or my divorce, because yeah, just you sometimes obviously just don't know how to handle everything perfectly. It's really hard to know what to do, especially when a lot of people just do the same things. But then you sometimes can see that clearly they haven't fully moved on, or they haven't fully been to the depths of it and can accept that. And I struggle with that too. Now I realize listening to that I still, just because I didn't do it perfectly the first time or right after the breakup, there's always still things that you can heal now, even if it's years later after a breakup. There's little wounds you get carried with you. And it's not that, and I'm not saying I'm still attached to like my ex-husband or anything like that. I think it's more like there's little unconscious or sometimes conscious beliefs or wounds that are just stuck in you until you really have the capacity and you open your heart to experiencing that to the fullest. And then you kind of can experience that feeling, that thought, that belief subsiding and kind of leaving. Then you feel not as burdened or heavy. Yeah, it's going to be okay. And it might take a while, but don't force yourself to feel better or force anything to happen. Just keep trying to have a routine. Be patient. Be kind to yourself. Don't expect anything. Okay, you guys. Well, thank you again for listening. If you want to help the podcast. Oh, wait. I didn't do a frenemies today. I'm having a hard time trying to find people that I know that would do frenemies, because it's going to be the same like seven people over and over and over again. So I actually don't know if you guys even enjoy the frenemies. So if you do like the frenemies segment, please let me know. If you don't, I will not be offended. I promise you. My family might, and my friends might, but I will not be offended if you're like, I could do without the frenemies segment, because it is a lot of work for me and I'm fine to do it, but I just want to make sure that people actually like it, because if not, then I don't want to waste my time and energy into that part of the podcast. Cool. Or if you have ideas for it. I have a couple ideas, but again, having other people on is like a whole other thing, because I don't have a studio. I don't have like a production team, anything like that. So it's, I also have only have one microphone. So even when I call them, it's not as, you can't hear very well. I don't know. It just feels like bleh, bleh, bleh. Alrighty then. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys next week. Have a good weekend. Love you. Bye. Oh, I'm taking a ride to join a lake. 눈치 보면서 들어가야 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개설레임 바꾸는 사람들. 시간만 지나가 자신감 가지고 해와 그냥 천천히.